Chargers. They've been getting at it, man. They're the ones that's gonna grill you, man, because they majority are all Houston people. So that's
shout out to Hoop Jargon.
Man, I'm here with my man with Hoop Jargon, the best in the game, man. And you know I only let selected few in my circle. And this is a real dude right here. We gonna get down with the get down.
What's up, everybody? Shout out to Hoop Jargon, man. And so in this Hoop Jargon Media Nation that I've started, network rather, I want to reintroduce a show that's been a very big staple of the show, well, this network for the last year. And that's going to be Straight No Chases Cowboys podcast. This is actually our 21st episode. So I'm going to bring my guys up one by one and reintroduce the show because we got stuff to talk about. Y'all want to hear, we want to talk about it. First, I'm going to bring up my guy, Dan Brown. What's up, man?
What up, y'all? What up? What up? What up? My man, Cliff.
How you living, Dan?
Good, man. Surviving this Dallas heat. But hey, not any hotter than what we're going to talk about, man, with these boys, man.
There we go. I like how you say it way there. I've been doing this for a while, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So I'm going to bring up my other man, another one-third of the Straight No Chases Cowboys podcast.
Yes, sir.
And that is going to be my man, Rich Walker. What's up, man?
What it do?
The big fella. What's happening, Rich?
Back with the crew.
Yes, indeed.
The crew's back together, baby.
Back together, yeah. Man. It's on and popping.
Absolutely, man. So, you know, how you feeling the H, man? You know, D. Brown says it's kind of cold out there.
It ain't even cold inside the refrigerator, man.
That's what's up. And shout out to Early Birds in the building, man. Got Dallas in the building. Says, yo, Hoop Jargon, go Cowboys.
What up?
Absolutely. Yeah, 20 games. I go sub this channel, man.
What it do?
Tacho, Coach Tacho at Prairie View A&M Volleyball.
What coach, up, man. Coach?
Tacho Tuesday on a Sunday.
Huh?
Tacho Tuesday on a Sunday.
There you go, man. You know, all can bring you that.
Yeah.
And shout out to my guy, Sir Tyson. Oh, God. He's Detroit fan. So I got to get you on when we get Brock on here. So Brock and, you know, y'all talk about y'all garbage ass team.
Yes, sir.
Without further ado, man, let's hop into the content, man. So we talked a little bit pre-show. We talked about the situation the Cowboys are in. So I guess a good starting point is the departures, man. Like, so where are we at right now, and how does that kind of lean towards where we go towards this 2022 season?
I'm still with me.
Yeah, fire up, Rich. Go off.
Well,
go off.
First
he's
all,
going out pre-show. You might
be right. Yeah, I guess so. The first of all, you know, the obvious glaring loss was the departure of Amari Cooper, which I think there was like a bag of Skittles and like, I don't know, some Tic Tacs or something involved.
I was about to make a bad joke about myself. I was about to
pretty much what we gave up for him. After surrendering, you know, a lot of draft capital to get the guy in the first place. Again, another example of piss poor front office management by Jones and Jones. And like I said, we basically let him leave town for nothing, got nothing in exchange for him. They're going to roll the dice on Michael Gallup as his replacement. Don't know. I got questions about that. Some of the other losses that I think won't really make the radar, but to me are big. You know, Keanu Neal is gone. And I thought he was an excellent compliment to that linebacker core. Micah can't do it all by himself, man. And like Keanu O'Neal was big, and he was one of the guys that they can drop in the middle so that they were able to move Micah around and put him on the line and do all the things they did with him last year. So big loss there. Big loss there.
Well, I agree with you, Rich, that obviously the obvious one is Amari. You just don't lose a legit one like that and not have concerns about what's replacing him. Now, let me take us back to when CeeDee Lamb was drafted. That was an embarrassment of riches at the time. Mm-hmm. We all thought, you know, particularly when you had Gallup, you know, pretty much where he is as a legitimate, productive number two. Then Amari being a legitimate one. Then you get CeeDee Lamb, and then you see CeeDee Lamb have the rookie season that he had. You could see the flashes, and even then there was legitimate buzz about him eventually being the one, right?
Right.
But now he's thrust into that position. So there's a lot of, you know, we'll see with this season. Right. Whereas you felt really good about what they could be, particularly on the offensive side of the ball going into last season, with what they've done, I guess what they've not done, and with what they've lost on the offensive side of the ball, with Gallup's injury, you don't know when he's going to be back to full strength. Right. And, you know, just how durable is he?
So right. You got questions. I mean, that was a very nasty injury.
How durable is he? How productive will he be when he comes back? And now CD is thrust into that role. And we've all seen it where, yeah, you see flashes and whatever else, man, but, you know, you don't really realize, it's the classic of you don't really miss what you have until it's gone. You don't realize the value that Amari Cooper has, even though we know CD is a bad boy. But when you are the primary guy in the game and the defensive game plan of the other team to stop,
things change.
Things change a little bit. So now we're going to see. So I think this offseason, man, with a lot of the moves, I think the Keanu Neal mentioned Rich was huge because I was a big fan of what he brought to the deal in terms of flexibility, productivity, leadership, and depth. I mean, again, I've been saying it for 3 or 4 years. The linebacker room has been pretty scarce.
Right.
For a while. I mean, everybody talked about the offensive line and you talk about DBs and whatever else. That linebacking core has been that you end up hitting on a emerging superstar and Parsons.
Right.
The depth behind him has been pretty scarce. So losing him was again, we'll see. You know, we'll see what my guy from LSU will if he comes back healthy, what he does. Jabril Cox. Yep. And we're hopeful that, you know, he can step in and start to get back to progressing to what he was. And then, of course, Rich, you got to give it to us. It's been too long. What's that name? What's LB's name? Bro?
Nathan Vander Elsewhere.
I was waiting all week.
That's where that should be right now. But Elsewhere.
We had no choice but to bring him back.
He had to bring in the grocery store coupon. You ever been in line and, like, you're not sure if you swipe that debit card, it's going to clear? You're like, I know I want the name brand one, but the off brand one might have to do for now.
Hey, great values is sometimes value in itself.
Yeah,
man. So I mean, to land the plane on the losses is from my perspective, it just leaves, you know, a big, you know, we'll see with what Dallas going into camp, because I love watching camp to see like guys emerge. I know there's people we're going to talk about coming up later in the show, because it leaves opportunity for people to step up. And but you sit there left wondering, like, man, you know, did we lose too much or what have you? So there's a huge we'll see going into this training camp, going into this season.
You don't want to lose what's working. The receiver core was working.
Yeah, that wasn't a problem.
The most predictable part of the offense,
between the game. Yeah, we also lost Cedric Wilson. We also lost Malik Turner.
I think Cedric Wilson was the guy
that kind of fit the scheme of what Reed was trying to do with that team. So will they be able to replace those complimentary guys, you know, because that's going to be big. You know, Dak needs as many tools as he can get. So will they be able to get those guys in the draft and those free agents? They signed Armstrong from he played with the Steelers.
And James Washington.
James Washington from the
which Steelers. I think is an interesting get, man. He's one guy, you know, the keen eye will be on him also because, you know, James Washington was a really big talent.
Now, he was a dog at OSU.
Yeah, big talent at Oklahoma State.
He was a freaking dog out there. It just, you know, things hadn't – and then, you know, he went through a lot in Pittsburgh. I mean, Ben at the end of his career, then he got hurt, then you got – a hodgepodge of garbage ass quarterbacks that he played with. So,
the Steelers play callers,
right? They don't push the ball, you know, like the Cowboys offense do. So,
right,
you know, it's a little bit of a dice roll, but we know he's got the potential. But
like I said at the beginning, we'll see. This is where we're at.
I mean, that's kind of been our thing, plugging and playing receiver. So, if there's any position that I got confidence that we can plug and play, that's going to be a receiver because Cedric Wilson was a plug and play. Like, he wasn't a coveted guy. I know he came from Ohio. Yeah. He was a Boise. But, I mean, 2 years ago, wasn't nobody jumping off the screen about no damn Cedric Wilson,
Correct. He just did well.
We've done that pretty well over the years, bringing in now the Allen Hurns, and
yeah,
Tavon Austin
2017. So much. Right.
Other than that, we did pretty good at that. So I'm not so worried about that. But to your point, when you lose a one, the dynamic changes. And I think CD may be every bit of what we think he can be.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't see nothing that's make up.
They gave him number 88. You don't just hand in number.
You don't just get 88.
You got to live up to the 88, bro. You got to live up to the 88.
I'm just saying.
Even Antonio Bryant was still a pretty good.
Yes, he was.
And y'all better go back.
Yes, he was.
That man feel.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
Yeah, he just he didn't get along with the front office and a few select people. Man, that boy was a dog.
Yeah, he was a dog.
Baby dad, man. Little baby dad.
He gonna be blessed with us today. No.
Yeah, yeah. No doubt.
But to kind of switch gears, I do applaud the loss of Connor Williams and Connor McGovern.
Yes.
John Connor, Sarah Connor. I don't give a damn. Get them all out of there.
John Connor.
Anybody
there. Top up.
Yeah, goodbye and good riddance. And if anybody asks that you don't play for the Cowboys, just lie and say that ain't me, please.
Yeah.
So,
well, you mentioned hodgepodge. That's the definition of hodgepodge. Right. We ain't really fixed our damn old line, man. So,
right. Yeah. We started going through offensive line hell the moment that Travis Frederick, said that he can't play no more.
Yeah,
that's where it all started, man. I mean. We missed that guy. We'd never been able to play, replace him. Mm-hmm. And then the dominoes start following, falling from there. We had the injuries. Just got a text. Tyron Smith has been injured again while we're talking. he's out 3 weeks. Sorry. Cliff, you clicked on the button too hard. You actually fractured his kneecap while you clicked on the live button on this broadcast.
Well played.
Nice. I mean, Is if anything, I wanted to see more emphasis in the draft and the free agency on fixing the damn line. Get us a veteran center. I'm sorry, Tyler's not the answer at center. Maybe he can get his shit together and be a depth guy. He's not the answer at center. So you got problems with the middle of the offensive line to start with. Mm-hmm. We lose Leo Collins, which I don't have a problem with. I think it's definitely the right decision to keep Steele. Terrence Steele did a damn good job.
But they need to pay him while the market's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Before the market flips. Right. They need to pay him.
If you would have bought gas in January, it's a hell of a lot cheaper than buying it in July.
Correct.
Today's price ain't yesterday's price.
Today's price is tomorrow's price.
Yeah, that is for real.
Yeah. Hey, real quick for you while you keep rocking, man, you guys follow. We're going to do these streams on our actual Straight No Chase Cowboys podcast. So y'all make sure y'all subscribe to this channel here that I just put up. And we'll do them on Hoop Jargon too, but eventually we're going to migrate these always straight.
Other thing I forgot we need to add, Cliff. This year, you're going to be able to taste Straight No Chasing with you on the road.
Yes, hey,
you're going to be on every podcast platform on Earth. Not Earth, Earth.
Earth.
We live on Earth.
Nice.
Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iHeart, you name it. Download and subscribe to the Straight No Chaser podcast. Hoop Jargon's gonna have his own podcast as well. Subscribe when it comes out. Subscribe. Get those subscriptions in. Get those downloads in, man.
And it's worth it because we have former NFL players on this show. If you guys missed, check out some of our old ones. I put it in a row where you can see we had what's our boy from the Chiefs? Sean Smith.
Yeah.
We had Sean Smith.
We had Lemonhead Stinson from the Bears.
Greatness.
We also at Press Row, we interviewed a
Demetri whole Overall lot of was on here.
Cowboy lovers and haters. You know what I'm saying?
Bigger than a snicker.
Yeah. Our boy D'Angelo Williams for sure. We got to get him.
Got to get D'Angelo back on.
For sure.
The great Eric Dickerson, Joe Theismann.
Yeah, ED,
Joe Theismann.
Joe Theismann.
I mean, we had a great interaction with Eric Kramer, who was actually surprisingly good.
Yep.
He was.
Yeah, surprisingly good. I mean, just had a ball.
That's a good way to put it.
Surprisingly good. But I think, what we showed in Cali on Press Row was that our brand and how we get down was well received among the NFL ranks. They all
thing. They loved the energy.
Yep. Loved how we got down. They love that it's, you know, no cut, room temperature, no ice. I mean, we came to it real.
It's going to be a little spicy this year because we already got some guests lined up.
Yes.
We already have two former Cowboys Super Bowl champions booked for this year.
There you go. So,
one of them for DFW era, in the DFW area, when you click on your remote area morning, you watch the morning news, a little guy by the name of Tony Casillas, former Super Bowl champion.
Love it.
He'll be rocking with us. So just a little teaser for the season.
Nice. You know? That is a show.
We're going to give a little something.
Nice.
Man, who else giving y'all this? I know it's a lot of Cowboys content out there. But again, we bring you NFL guys up here. What's the other guy we brought up with Lemonhead on that one discussion? The gentleman.
With the 49ers. That was before the 49ers. Ironically, before the 49ers game, before we got bounced from the playoffs.
Yeah. But we had great discussion, and that's one we just
sit back discussion. And
talk. Yeah. they know the game, like from a
Straight
up applied sense, man. So yeah, y'all rocking with the right podcast. I just gotta say, because we for 1 year going together, like it was a hell of a year. Yeah, one together.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Still gonna be season one, but season two is the official starts with next show we do. But yeah, we gave y'all 21 classes, man. We really did.
Yes.
Straight no chaser, man. Get with it. Tell your people. Tell all your people. Matter of fact, tell your people that love the Cowboys. Tell people that hate the Cowboys. Tell people that want to discuss
Cowboys. We love haters.
See, this is the one platform we give them equal footing. Because we have real discussions here. Real discussions, real talk, real analysis all the time. Straight no chaser, baby. Get with it. Tell your people.
Hello, Manny. I see you.
Manny, yes,
it is. A little late, coming in like black folks at church. One finger up and you get
the finger up.
Yes, sir.
What does that one finger even mean?
Excuse me, y'all.
I never accept the reason my mama would tell me why you put one finger up when you lay it. I'm like, that don't make sense.
Just go sit down.
Shout out to V in the building too, said just because I haven't scrolled by the Facebook post, man. Shout out to you, V. Thank you for
coming. What up, V?
Valencia, man. Ardent, still a fan, man.
You never know when we're going to roll.
All right, so since we switching gears, man, actually, let's talk about, so here's what we do on this show, too. We've had sponsorships, and we got to get back to that. So today's show is sponsored by No Damn Body. Hit me up on
your sponsor.
There you go, man. You know, it ain't always been this person, but
we're sponsored by the same folks that are running this country. No Damn Body.
Man, don't get me started on that.
It's hot one today, baby.
Taking a hard left turn.
Damn.
Or right turn.
Damn. That one here home.
Rich, you know how we do it, man.
Yeah, bro. No, don't get me going now.
No, we do it. No damn body. Let me see.
Agtown Finest. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, man.
Yeah.
I see that Agtown in the building.
So let's talk about some of the newcomers that's coming in.
Indeed.
One of which Will kind of tipped our hand on what's going on with that's funny. Tacho says similar to Jerry Jones. I can't argue. I cannot argue that.
Can't argue that.
Led by nobody.
No damn body.
So
good point.
I wonder when Jerry's child that he had out of fear, did they put no damn body on the biological line for father? No damn body.
Who's endorsing the check? No damn body.
No damn body. just that right. Is. No
so,
damn
so we'll tip our hand on a person I want to discuss real quick. A young man come out of FAMU on Eastville, who's been making waves with the Cowboys, being a new safety slash corner. You can play him versatile either position. And one thing that I got to give a lot of credit for is him making such an impression. Now, he didn't get drafted, y'all. He got picked up the day after. They signed him to one of the heftier rookie contracts that you can allow for a guy who didn't draft. And I talked to one of my guys. We talked about this off stage, but on the show, a gentleman named KJ Black, who was a quarterback's coach and assistant head coach at FAMU, gave raving reviews. I had him on the show about a month ago. And he was like, he's not surprised at all because he's just a dog of a kid. So, you know, that made my face light up because, you know, I didn't watch a lot of FAMU games like that. But when they played Jackson, Marquise did do well. And I do remember that. But I'd be lying to you if I said if I watched another FAMU game after that. But this gentleman right here is making an impression, man, in Cowboys camp, man. Every time you pull an article about the Cowboys, man, his name keeps popping up. And it's been consistently so since the draft, man. So a little insight. What do we think was going on with this gentleman, man, Marquise Bell, man?
Well, I think he's seizing the moment. That's the big thing.
Exactly right.
You know, you want that kid that's going to come in there and just say, look, I want to play football. Mm-hmm. I always thought back to some of the old coaches, like the old coaching style, and they ask you questions that they know the answer to. They want to hear what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
What position you play. You start trying to tell them what you're going to play, you're going to sit your ass right now.
Right.
I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do, coach. That's the correct answer.
Correct.
And this is the kid that's, you know, he's willing to come in and put the work in. That's what these kids nowadays don't want to do, man. I know I sound like the old grumpy old guy, but it's like, you got to put the damn work in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right.
You're not a first round draft pick. You're not coming from a big school. And, you know, you don't have the visibility that some of these other guys do.
Right.
None of that shit matters when the whistle blows. You can't when you put your hands on. You don't stay first round or second round on the back of your jersey. You got a number, and practicing in camp, you ain't got your damn name on the back.
Yeah.
So I don't give a damn if I'm the 100. I was drafted 150-11. You know, I wouldn't give a damn if I was 150-11 draft pick.
Nope.
I'm in the league.
You put on pads and a helmet. That's when you make a name for yourself on film. None of that other shit matters. What you did in college don't matter. What you did in high school don't matter. Who your best friends were, how many social media followers, none of that shit matters. What matters is what you do. And this dude is out there getting it done. I'm looking forward to seeing what he got at camp. And, you know, let's get some film on the kid, man.
Yeah, to piggyback on what Rich said real quick, that I think it's really impressive that a UFA is already making his presence, you know, felt. That he's actually getting ink, you know, in the local press,
right?
Because you know, Brits, I think you made a terrific point. I mean, you don't have names, you know, on your practice jerseys and none of that. I mean, so the fact that this kid is standing out and making himself noticed, but prior to camp, even camp's not for a few weeks yet, and yet his kid already has his name in the media that's out there, and you're getting quotes from coaches. So whatever he's doing, keep it going. I'm looking forward to seeing camp stuff. I'm looking forward to seeing him in preseason. He's attached himself to the we'll see. Yeah,
he's been a ball hawk and he's been getting interceptions early.
Right,
I love it.
And we know who our defensive coordinator is. What is his philosophy? Take the damn ball away.
Take the ball away.
He's a perfect kind of guy for that type of scheme. Yeah. For a Dan Quinn guy. He's not a guy who's got a bunch of the defending passes. He's a guy that got turnovers. Dan Quinn, his philosophy is the hell we're trying to stop them on third and short. I want to take the ball away.
Yeah. Shout out to our guy, Brent Jackson, who's always on point. And Brent notes, I guess, when he was looking at some of the draft talent, said he had a 6th round grade on it, straight dog. And I mean, again, Brent, to your point, apparently, I think the only I hope he's one of these stories. And we've seen those over the years with not only Cowboys, but other teams, where you see a guy who goes to a smaller school situation like a FAMU. And just a lot of guys pass, a lot of teams, I should say, pass on him because of that. But, you know, the guy has straight talent and plays himself to the forefront. And ends up making a significant impact. I hope that's what we end up seeing out of young Bell here. But I'm looking at his measurables. I'm like, what, 6'3"? 205? Yeah, with ball skills, I'm like, that's ideal now when you've got these 6'4", 6'5" receivers.
Right.
You know, doing that thing. Because that's another Dan Quinn staple, too. And Rich is a big DB.
Big DB.
Richard Sherman.
Yep.
What's Cam Chancellor? Marcus Trufant, Cam Chancellor. These were all big DBs. So I love everything about this potential going forward into camp.
And y'all beat this quote out right here. He said, I just put him on my shoulder. that I've always had. Going out there with the drafted and undrafted guys, we're basically playing in college. So he understand the moment, man. Listen, mm-hmm. like you just said, Rich, man, we all just names out here now, bro.
Mm-hmm.
We all yes. named this opportunity now, if you wanted to not. And Sean Smith was talking about that as well, about in that locker room. Listen, man, it's cool where you came from, but you here now.
Right.
All that shit out the window. So
mm-hmm.
I'm excited for this kid, man. Again, not only from the HBCU aspect, but obviously from a Cowboy aspect. We need mm-hmm. to see our dogs out there, man.
Yes.
We need to see my dogs, man.
Yep.
Chuck Moore say he wants the Cowboys to stop over celebrating and consider
serve their hands.
I'll say this. I hate it because they'll do this when the game ain't solidified yet. Like, man, stop that shit.
Yes.
You know, somebody from the Ravens comment about how often the Cowboys celebrate like third down
man.
Stops and okay. shit. Like
yeah.
It's the ghost of Brady James that still haunts the franchise. Y'all remember.
Yeah.
Y'all remember
and Jalen Smith chase a guy first of all after taking the wrong angle. You chase a guy down 8 or 9 yards down the field, make a tackle, then do that little air punch thing. My man, yeah. that ain't nothing to celebrate, bro.
Check the film. Check yeah. the film. We did.
Yeah, we did. it wasn't pretty. Yeah, it wasn't pretty. So yeah, great point.
I mean, no, that's a good point. We need to get more of a blue collar mentality, man.
Right.
You know, the game ain't over just because you made a good play. Cool, get off the field.
Right.
And let's win a goddamn football.
Get up and make another one.
Go make another one, then we can start doing it. We get to playoffs. Then you can start doing it.
I have a question for you, James.
But it's something about the psyche, though, that does play.
The culture, man, is it starts at the top.
There you go. I have a question for you, gents. Back on the loss front, if we could, and I thought this was kind of significant. What do you think of the loss or the change of heart of Randy Gregory and what will be replaced with, either that's currently on the roster or a couple of guys that they brought on?
All of the Cowboys affiliates were pissed at Randy, you know, for doing what he did, but I don't blame
him. They were in their Cowboy fever.
Yeah, we're in their Cowboy fever.
Who are these Cowboys affiliates you speak of, Richard?
Those of y'all who rock with us, you know the difference, but we'll go ahead and re-enlighten everyone. They're Cowboys fans, which is what we are, and most of you are. Then they're Cowboy affiliates. They're the people who went out and buy the Dak Prescott or the Tony Romo jersey. Or when a team goes 10-3, ooh, we're going all the way. Ooh, this is our year.
How about 6-2?
Yeah. Oh yeah, that man, they don't even get to 10.
Because
we start 3-0. Here they come with their little hot top fade and the matching Jordans that match the jersey.
Ooh, the high top.
We going everywhere. We them boys. Or they announce some bullshit like Jerry Jones just made another $1 billion, which has nothing to do with your ass. Okay.
Right.
So we made more money than anybody. No, Jerry Jones made more money than
anybody. That's a fact.
Not your dumb ass. Which by the way, I don't know if y'all noticed, you're hardly there we go. That's it.
That's it, bro.
You go to AT&T all day.
That is a factual.
That's the prototypical Cowboy affiliate package right there. That's it.
Can't deny it, bro. Irrefutable facts right there.
Don't stay on Facebook and Instagram for shit. Posting the memes. Oh, everybody's a hater. No, you're just stupid, man. They dragging you because you look ridiculous and you sound ridiculous.
I've argued with affiliates at AT&T at games. Yeah. I was just like,
the same people who wanted to draft Johnny Manziel, the same people who, right, exactly, cried about Tony Romo not getting back in when Dak was obviously, you know,
done.
Yeah, yeah. We don't want to go on the Romo Mannix. You know, that whole season was just ridiculous. Do we have the pieces to go? I know I'm reading it. Yeah. Do we have the pieces to go the distance? Absolutely.
What you mean, distance?
Yeah. Absolutely, we had the pieces to go the distance. We got Jerry's Jets, so he can fly the team in and watch someone else play the Super Bowl this year. Absolutely. Well, he got
distance.
We also got that big ass yacht, and he put a team on a yacht, and both their asses in to watch.
Let me see. The distance from Dallas to Tempe is Tempe. What? About 1,100 miles?
About 1,100, yeah.
I can get there.
Yeah.
I can get there in 13 hours.
Jerry's got a fleet of buses. He got a helicopter, I'm sure.
Yeah.
We got the piece.
I mean, because it was a shorter distance for us to get to for us to get to Tempe this year than it was to Cali last year, right?
Yeah.
For us, Rich. So, yeah, yeah. We can go the distance.
Right.
But the coach's question, who knows? I mean,
the only way the Dallas Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl this year is if they hop on a train with Hoop Jargon and BTP, and we get them credentials to go
like
in the press row.
Yeah.
That's it.
It will be the Super Bowl.
I'm not giving a glass half full deal. I'll say this. I think off to Tacho's question, as it looks right now, no. I think it's just like you can't lose continuity like that,
right?
And expect like a same result or better when you improve. Right. If you didn't, which we talked about pre-show, if you didn't go out and make the big free agent splash to replace what you got, and like we discussed in pre-show, Dallas went the big lots route again in free agency. So you can't lose like an Amari Cooper. And even if we talked about Randy Gregory and some of the other guys that they lost, like a Keanu Neal, those guys all represented productivity and continuity. And you just don't lose that and replace that and have a realistic expectation. We get into the meat and potatoes of the show now. We have a realistic expectation of being, of going 12-4 again, and then you start shouting the Super Bowl. Now, could things develop? Could somebody emerge? Could things fall right injury-wise? All of those are unknowns that could possibly happen. Is it likely? No. I think Dallas probably regressed. I think they still are in a playoff conversation. But to confidently sit here today, July 3rd, and say, oh, I think Dallas definitely has the pieces to go to the Super Bowl. No. That's a team. Mm-hmm. That's a conversation that's reserved for the Rams. That's a conversation that's reserved for who's an AFC rep. Say, like, maybe the Bills. Those are teams, the Bengals, are teams that have fan bases that should have that realistic expectation.
Right.
Dallas fans, July 3rd, 2022, I don't want to hear that shit about we going to the Super Bowl, because we likely not, and you don't damn know. So stop that shit.
You trying to say, man, the Cowboys ain't going to take it this year?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
All the way.
Exactly what I'm saying.
This is our year.
This will that would be like me predicting my Mavericks getting to the Western Conference Finals and expecting that.
That's a better prediction.
I mean, that it happened. I mean, there was no expectation of that going in. They hadn't won a first round series since 11. Why would I expect that? So that's the same energy I'm giving.
I like the logic.
Mm-hmm.
The Dallas Mavericks are closer to getting to a Super Bowl than the Cowboys.
I would agree with that. Because guess what? They got better people in the front office. But let me shift this IT right quick.
Exactly.
So, listen. All right, so, Tacho, they kind of asked the same question. So, is Dak the quarterback y'all to get y'all there if y'all build around him? And Chuck also says he trusts Dak because he's accurate. So, let's go and attack the Dak.
Good questions. This is good stuff here. This is good stuff.
Let's talk about Dak, man. Let's talk about Dakota Rain Prescott.
Okay. I'm gonna say he has the potential, and I'll be honest, I'm getting tired of using that word.
Yes, potential, sure. Yes,
because he's already at the crest of his career. Like, we should be talking about what Dak's done already.
Facts.
At this point, it's time to show. Okay, in spite of everything else, yes, I don't have all the pieces around me. I'm gonna elevate what I got and do better. Let's not forget, Aaron Rodgers had zero first-round draft picks in his receiver corps when he won a Super Bowl. I mean, I'm just saying. You know, we go out, we went out mass shopping on offense to get him a lot of resources. You got first-round draft pick running back. You had first-round draft pick lineman. You had first-round draft pick receivers, all-pro receivers. I'm just saying, he didn't quite get us there. And I don't see the progression. That 49er game, to me, was a big blow on his legacy. Because in spite of all that, if you swap Patrick Mahomes And Dak Prescott in that situation, I think Mahomes finds a way to win that game.
I think
that's the difference to me. You know, I
blow
think
the doors out them niggas is what I think.
Yeah, right.
I think Mahomes blow the doors.
Well, I mean, you know, in spite of you know everything that happened, I think that you know he's got to show that okay, damn this, I got this. I'm gonna take us there. I'm gonna lead us there. I haven't seen that from Dak. And you run out of time, bro, because that number 3-0 is right around the corner. When you don't get better when you get 30.
You don't get better at 30 unless you're Tom Brady.
Right. Exactly. Well, he's not human. He's different.
Yeah.
But for everybody else, yeah, 30 is really like – yeah, that's right really like the center of your resume at that point.
Richard, I know you see the screen. This joke need to come with it too, though.
Man, I want to weigh in on the Dak thing. So to Tato's question, yeah, I think he can get him there. I think the thing with Dak is this, from where I sit, he's Rich just mentioned Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers gives you a greater margin for error because of his natural talent.
Agreed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think the to Tato's question, I mean, the building around him, that around includes what's in front of him. What's in front of him hasn't been good, has been not mediocre. Lately,
He had the best O-lines.
Yeah. Well,
but then he had trash.
No. I want to disagree with you slightly there. He had a great O-line his rookie year. He had a really solid O-line in year two. That O-line has really been overrated from year three till now. It really has.
Man.
They really have, and even in talent. I mean, because the interior of that line after Leary left and they moved Collins out to the right side has been pretty spotty from center over, right?
It's and then just say what it is.
And then you lose. What's our guy? Travis Frederick. I mean, that's a huge blow. I mean, that was a Hall of Fame caliber center,
right?
That you lose, and you just don't get back from. You know, you whoever you try to plug in there, then you draft Tyler Biadasz, who, what the hell is he, right? Connor Williams was an abject failure, right? Connor McGovern, you know, tore a pec, and you gave him a shot. He was worse than Williams. So, yeah. I mean, because a lot of the things that you need for your quarterback to be successful, that Dak doesn't necessarily have the talent to overcome because he isn't as naturally gifted as, say, a legend like Aaron Rodgers, or I'll dare say even a younger cat that would be going to stay in his demo, take your man out in Buffalo. Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
Yeah. Or Justin Hurt. I mean, we take guys like
Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson had a pretty trash O-line, and he made a lot happen with that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I think if they can plug a couple of things, hopefully the big draft pick that they got in the O-line this year helps to bring that back. 21 to Cliff's point to land the plane there gets back, not necessarily back to 16, 17, 18 Zeke, but I need him to be productive. And actually I hope the Beeb is more efficient in using that backfield better. Then he can do that, because if we think about it, prior to his injury, however affecting that was, Dak looked like he had turned the corner in terms of line adjustments, throws that he would attempt and was making. Then he gets dinged, and he was never really that dude after that.
Really?
He was real up and down after when that injury happened, week 7, week 8, and he was never really that dude. So I will still give Dak deletion. Here's where I landed. Rick, I would disagree with you slightly and say that what we should have already done by now. I think quarterbacks are actually take a little longer than that. And if they don't have an ideal situation or you aren't super dynamic like some of the other talents that we mentioned, because, you know, Drew Brees didn't win right off. I can go through a litany of quarterbacks.
Got traded on top of that. Got traded.
But yeah. But even then, I mean, it was still a work in progress. I think quarterbacks are actually really good, actually, when they start to hit 29, 30, 31.
What about Joe Burrow?
Well, I mean, again, Joe Burrow's a different talent. He's a different talent.
We laughed This time last year, we laughed at Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, he's a different talent.
I used to call it the Browns and the Bengals. I used to call it the Super Bowl.
Right, no doubt, and rightfully so. And I mean, what they got going?
They got him a few little pieces, and look what he did. Jamar Chase,
do we have a Jamar Chase on the roster? No. And again, that was going back to my example, Rich. You have guys. To finish answering Tasha's question, I think he can do it. But he's got to have the Cowboys. Where it may not fall for him is that you got to trust this organization to be efficient, putting something around him to make him successful. And we'll see if that happens or not.
I like this comment right here. I think that's fair, Rich. I mean, not Rich. D. Brown. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
It's a multifaceted problem, and we definitely do got to see it all the way through. Because I mean, we committed to Dak, and you know, all the affiliates, you know, Romo, you know, died on the cross. But that, you know, to live.
This is Sunday, by the way. I love it.
Yeah, you know, you see how I did that. Sermon for y'all.
Preaching is helping here.
So, I think this is actually a good comment. Chuck Morris says, how can they stop all these pass interference? My question. And stop them in the most least opportune time. Yes. God damn.
It's not the first quarter or first down. This is like a critical moment, tie game, third and short. You stop.
Got to get him out the field.
Here comes the flag.
Well, you see that yellow thing on the bottom. You know what time it is.
Right. Yeah. It's the lack of
focus. Every time.
It's the lack of discipline.
Attacking that boy, man.
It's the, you know, the dumb decisions, and it's I don't get it. I would think that Dan Quinn, you know, has a disciplinarian, you know, type mindset, but I don't see. In situations, I don't see that focus, that discipline, and say, okay, which he had that with the Legion of Boom. They were arguably, probably other than maybe the Ravens, the 2000 Ravens team, they were one of the most disciplined defenses. They didn't commit penalties. They didn't do stupid stuff.
They also had guys that would police them on the field too, though, Rich.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, even the guys, yeah, like Bobby Wagner, the Bobby Wagner, the Cam Chancellors, the Richard Shermans. Kervin, these are guys who would check guys in the huddle like
they would check each other.
Absolutely. Right. So who emerges on the field that meets out that discipline when you're not handling your business in this critical situation? Is it Micah Parsons? Does he evolve into that leader other than just being the dynamic talent? Is he the guy that snatches the face mask and says, hey, bro, you know, tighten your shit up.
Get your head in the game.
Exactly. Right. Like, so who emerges on the field?
Quick, we always got to acknowledge Super Chats on this channel, man. Thank you for the $5, man. Chuck Moore.
That's good love. That's love, Chuck. I appreciate that, bro.
Well, here's something I do now, man. I got the dollar bill on there.
Money. That's love, though, Chuck. We appreciate that, bro.
Appreciate that, man. Yes, appreciate sir, man. That, y'all want to. If y'all like the product that we put out here, man, again, we're giving y'all realistic cowboy talk. We don't give you just, oh, yeah, man, what can we do to win a Super Bowl this year? And y'all know it. Like I see it, I'm like, can we, like you said earlier, can we start, like, consistently winning playoff games first? Right. We start talking about a goddamn Super Bowl.
It's not a sprint. It's a freaking marathon. It's like, the Rams had their hearts broken a couple of times before they finally got together. Now they are on a roll. And that's what I mentioned. They are the example of a team that invests in success. They keep their core together and then they add pieces. Okay, you lose Von Miller, then you go out and get a guy to replace him. I mean probably a slight upgrade, to be honest, you know, in some areas. That this is why they have a formula for success. This is why they're doing things to win Super Bowls. The hell with them draft picks, to hell with these potential guys. They are guys that are getting it done. And that's why they have a
terrific example.
Can you imagine we had the gumption to go get an Odell Beckham in the middle of the year?
Man.
Like, it sounds like uncomputable for a Cowboy fan.
Right.
The Rams did that and got a Von Miller. Like, sometimes you got to read the tea leaves properly and add the right piece at the right time. I think this would have been apropos if we did this 3 years ago. We lost the Rams. Mm-hmm. If we'd have went and started finding some people to add on, I think that was a good team to win it all. When Coop was hot, when Gallup was hot, Mm-hmm. And we probably just needed some more defensive support. Well, ain't no problem. Right. We stopped the run. So, shit, we definitely needed some defensive support. Now, right. I can't recall. I'm not going to lie. I think I can remember everything was available. But I'm sure some was available on a buyout situation.
Like, I would have made, like I said, that you know, you got guys that, you know in the front office that know how to work the cap and know how to structure contracts. The Rams obviously figured out, unless they got a hidden debit card or something that the league don't know about or whatever.
Cheat code, bro. Cheat code.
I mean, they were able to sign Bobby Wagner with less cap space than what we have.
That's nuts, man.
Well, actually, that's actually a segue where I wanted to go with y'all this morning is some of the misses. Yeah. That I thought Dallas made. And one of Bobby Wagner was one I was screaming to the heavens, mm-hmm. go make happen. Everything about him, from the synergy with Dan Quinn.
Literally a Dan Quinn guy.
The synergy with Dan Quinn, the talent on the field, the leadership I just talked about, all those things. And he was there to be had. I was pissed that they weren't more aggressive with Von Miller.
Right.
Like, again, leadership.
Locker room guy.
Yep. A locker room guy. Oh, let's add the local flavor. I mean, he's a DeSoto cat. Right. I mean, how about him finishing his career and helping get this team back to what they crave for going on 30 years now? Yeah. I mean, how about that story? So yeah. Let's talk about some of the misses. And Cliff, you bring up a great question, which is a hot button with me, which is the problem I have with this front office is the Rams have clearly identified and how they move is like, look, man, they aren't scared. So, because see, I know Dallas had a penchant for going out and making big free agent splash. That's why every deal that's out there gets tied to them. And there's a level where you have to modify that, right? But you don't regress to the point where you don't do shit. Yeah, and that's where they've gotten to as a mentality. It's like, well, we don't spend money on our guys. Okay. But when you got guys that are doing that and in your conference that are having more recent success than you because of doing that, it's like, the Rams have a plan. They're like, we'll worry about draft picks and we'll worry about how to figure it out next year or whenever that is. We're not worried about hoarding draft picks or all this deal. Odell Beckham is out there. Hey, Odell Beckham is a hell of a talent. Let's go get him. Mm-hmm. And Ndamukong Suh, who is still out there, by the way, and I'm not mad if they're going to give Ndamukong Suh $5 million right now. I want you to hear. I want you to hear that from me on this show today. Mm-hmm. They need run defense. And look, and he's 34 now, he can come in right now and immediately help out with what they need as run stopping.
Is Greg Hardy still available?
Let's not do that. I'm not going to do that.
He was productive out there. You can say what you want to say about him getting a retard.
Did Greg Hardy wake up yet from that ass whooping he got in his leg?
Right. That part.
But we worry about football, man. You can't fight like that, hey.
Right. But man, I you know, that's and that this even goes back to Tacho's question. Do we have the pieces? No, because this organization in doing what they need to get pieces on either side of the deal, because these are pieces, the Bobby Wagners, the Von Millers, that they're out there to be had with the Cowboys, and it didn't happen.
He stepped in with his one finger, he led the church. Right. He's not agreeing with you, Darren.
If I were to put it in the terms that we can all relate to, I think I'll use this analogy. Let's say the Cowboys, instead of being a football operation, they were an interior home decorator.
Oh, shit.
They would have pictures on the wall. They would have carpet on the floor.
They would have plastic on the sofa.
Blinds, but no damn furniture.
And plastic so on the
you don't have something plastic nice to look at on the wall. You ain't gonna have nowhere to sit, no table to eat at. None of that. None to store your dishes in. None of this other stuff.
But paper plates nice instead of good wall,
you got nice curtains.
Yeah, it's gonna look nice on the outside though. You have a beautiful home on the outside.
Yeah.
You go inside, you're gonna start seeing the imperfections.
No electrical wiring, no plumbing.
Yeah.
Y'all it's just described Cowboy Stadium. HVAC,
you know.
Wow. Y'all literally just described AT&T Stadium.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's gorgeous, but don't see nothing, don't touch nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Because you ain't going to get nothing. Right. So, yeah, man, that's so that was one lane I want to touch on, man, is like some of the misses. When we were talking about these pieces that Tacho brought up earlier, it's like, well, they had chances to get really impactful pieces where they needed them and didn't. Mm-hmm. So, that's why this is a huge question mark coming to the season.
The thing. It's the frustrating part. Like I said, you tried and you missed. Like, they didn't even try.
And I here's one thing I want to tie into last season, because I don't like dwelling in what, because last season is done with. But as you look at what transpired and what didn't transpire in this offseason, guy, I think it underscores how big of an opportunity they missed this past season with what they had. What was it? What is it? A perfect scenario? No, that team should damn well have gotten past the first round, and that team should, given the personnel that was in place, even with the quirks that they had in the O-line, that team, as you look at it now, even just a few months later, underperformed, and they missed an opportunity. And I think they're going to step back a bit this year to get back to the opportunity that was presented before them in 21. That's my feeling.
They were one tough game away from a Super Bowl. Because had they beat, if they would have beat the 49ers, you would have had it. I think the Rams would have been the next opponent. You would have had a rumble with the Rams. But if you got past them, you got a Tampa Bay was beat up last year. You would have caught them in the NFC Championship game. You had some potential there.
And as a team that you gave them work when they were healthy.
Right.
In the season. Yeah. They gave
the leg, forgot the kick.
And if I recall correctly, they would have had to come to Dallas, correct?
I mean.
So you would have hosted the NFC Championship game.
That don't really mean shit. We lose home games all the time.
Well, yes, that's true. But I'm just saying.
But I prefer not to
the
be on
road would have been, the road would have been, you know, like I said, one difficult game to get to the Super Bowl. And you get there, who knows? You never know. Anything can happen.
That's why I say opportunity missed, man. And just so the moves, the non-moves, and what have you, and just there's far more uncertainty going into this fall than there was last year. And the way things played out, it just underscores how they, what I think, what the Cowboys missed, huge opportunity last year to cure the now 26. No, no, 90. Yeah, 26 going on year 27 year. The 27 year pandemic of not seeing, not the Super Bowl, an NFC Championship game. See, this would be easy to take if Dallas had lost in a few NFC Championship games. They haven't got to that motherfucker since 96. So
if you had a baby the night they won the championship game, that person is born, went through college, has a career and a child of their own by now.
Well, here's the thing. Now, I'm not a grandfather yet, but my kid was born in 98.
Damn. That's perspective.
And just turned 24.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all sound like some haters, man. Cowboys taking this.
This is our year, though.
Y'all some haters, man. That's all I got.
Y'all some haters. Oh, y'all always hate you on the Cowboys.
Cowboys take it this year, man.
This is why everybody makes fun of your asses.
This is why people make fun of us, right?
Over and over and over again. And for those of y'all out there rocking me, Rich, you might notice something.
Go ahead.
You will, until they get their shit together, you will never see me with officially licensed Cowboys gear for the team. I ain't giving Jerry Jones no damn money. Now, don't get me wrong, I'll rock some bootleg shit in a minute. You know what I'm saying? Because I support local business.
The convenience store cap.
I'm not putting a damn dime in Jerry Jones' pocket. So you ever see me with Cowboys gear on, I guarantee you I did not get it from the team store. They have a damn thing.
Respect
me. No money.
I'm too bougie for that. I can respect
it. Yeah, me too. Same here. All my shit official.
Look at it, bro.
Yeah.
That's old.
This is a sweater jersey.
Yeah,
yours says NFL. Mine says NFR, not fucking real.
From Leeds.
Hell with Jerry Jones.
I can respect it,
but
I get it though, man.
I totally get it. I can completely respect it.
The last time I bought a piece of Cowboys gear was when Emmitt broke the rushing record. I was at that game too.
Yep.
I bought the t-shirt that they had that night. Against the Seahawks.
Wow. Yep, against Seahawks. I was there. I was sitting up in the nosebleed. Yep. I was there. Wow. An old funky ass Texas Stadium. But yeah, but that's good stuff, man. So the moves, lack of moves, the uncertainty, man, it's gonna make for a really interesting camp. Mm-hmm. It's gonna make for a really interesting watch this fall, game to game. And guess what else that's gonna make for? Some really interesting ass episodes on Straight No Chase.
Yes. There you go. That boy good.
we got our point guard here.
Yeah, dude, you bounce pass. No look. You know what I'm talking about? Yes, sir.
That's funny.
Yeah, y'all got to rock with some more.
He can't say the hell with Jones. The hell is high. So basically,
Chuck, I love Chuck Morris's input, man.
Come in the face, for real.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Hill is probably cooler than Texas right now.
It's cooler than Dallas, Texas, let me tell you.
Yeah.
I went out there 2 weeks ago from my boy wedding, man. Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Boy, I was like, I can't do this, man. Like, you would swear I ain't from Houston. Like, you would swear I've been in Cali my whole life. I've been down for 3 years, bro. It just spoiled me. Because, like, here's what it is. Over here, like, it's not humid. So, like, when it's hot, it be hot as hell. Like, so when people from Cali say that, was Southern California, I can say, it does get very hot. Like, you get in your car, it's very hot. But when you get in the shade, it's like, it's over. It's the heat is over. I called myself, I went to my boy house, let me stay with him or whatever. So his little keypad wasn't working for his garage. And so I was like, damn, it's kind of hot out here. I'm like, yo, bro, what's up? And he's like, oh, let me think of the number. So I called myself getting the shade to get out the heat. Shit.
No.
That heat followed me right around the corner.
Right. Like, damn, this ain't around the corner. It was there when you got there.
Oh, I'm under here. It never left. It's so hot the heat go in the shade too. I'm too hot out here.
Oh man, I guess I'm just too jaded, man. Like, I was just like, wow, like, I forgot how hot it is in Houston, man. Like, this shit is for the birds, man.
Yeah, but 3 years in Southern Cal now, or right at 3 years, bro. Yeah, you've been out there now, but yeah, it's an adjustment for you now.
Yeah,
you know, if you've been out there day to day, but we're gonna have to adjust too.
Yeah,
you know, so I'm ready to take on the affiliates this year. I got so much. I got so much heat. Man. I got so much heat for the affiliates this year. It's not even funny.
I said y'all don't notice, man. He see you like this, he gonna snuff you, man.
You know what? You know what, man? I tell you what, I'm gonna come in with a whole setup on the wall with that right there.
Affiliate.
And I'm gonna give him 10 minutes worth of work just on this right. And I'm talking about fully creased. The whole
spot. Yeah,
it gotta be full of creep.
You might need to make one of your famous cycle charts for the Cowboys. This is our year. We them boys. Trade everybody.
Right.
Y'all get on board, man. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a lot of heat, man.
Gonna be crazy, man. Season one, it was hodgepodge. We like the Cowboys. O-line, we finally got it right, kind of sorta.
Right.
Season two. We got it right. We're going to be on the right networks. Like Rich said, man, we're going to be on the Believe Network. We're going to be on Spotify. We're going to be on all that. We've had people literally hit us up like, man, love this product, man. So just know, man, we're going to be out here working, man. So
Well, they told us straight up, man. I mean, you know, all the guests that we mentioned earlier, you know, on camera, off, you know, the love was real. And, you know, quite honestly, we were all just like, wow. Like, you know, I mean, we knew we had something. But, you know, as things got older in the year and we culminated out and on Press Row, we really knew we had something in. Because we had people like in the mix, you know, names you heard, names you didn't, whatever, just really, you know, giving us that love because of how we get down and we ain't with the rah-rah. So rock with us, man. This is we going places and we want y'all to go with us.
We do. And, I'm gonna share a screen real quick with 1 hour remote straight no chaser things with Demetria Overlord. So again, if y'all don't know who that is, she kind of set the internet on fire being a traffic girl out there.
Traffic reporter. Mm-hmm.
So she's out in Vegas, I believe, doing it now, and that's where she's from.
With Sport News.
With Sport News, yeah. So she's with a major affiliate, right? And so she liked our energy so much, she gave us like crazy amount of time for free, because she was mentioning like her services were not for the free. And we was like, yeah, we ain't got it.
Yeah. Ain't got it. Can't put nothing on it.
She's like, oh, well, all right, guys, I can give you about 5 minutes. She gave us 20. And it just goes to show that the synergy is real, man. Like, people really do like what we do here. And we want to show you that we're also out in the field doing work, give y'all great content, man. And I hope y'all appreciate what goes on over here. So if y'all watching the replay, this is again us, it's me and D Brown interviewing Demetria Overlord. So again, big personality, doing her thing in the sports world. You know, she don't know sports like that, but I mean, when you look like that, you don't need to. So we're being honest. So that's us at Super Bowl. We're doing Press Row, man.
That was so
literally good. Getting time that people had to pay for the free zone, man. So. Y'all keep rocking with us, man. We out here putting work in the field. we out here doing our thing. So I hope y'all appreciate what we do, because we appreciate doing it. You know, we just do straight up.
And we love y'all's energy, man. The back and forth, even with what we've had today, it's just been awesome, man. I'm hyped all over again just for what's coming up, man. It's like, you know, see, look, super followers like we had with Minnie, who've been rocking with us from minute one. Mm-hmm. Seeing her again, my man Chuck, obviously Brent, everybody, man. It's I'm hyped all over again. I'm raring to go, because there's gonna be a lot to talk about. There's gonna be a lot to discuss. And with the weight we get down, oh, this is gonna be buffet. It's all we can eat. You know, with all the crap that's going on.
Those that don't know, we even had a celebrity appearance from none other than Morgan Freeman.
Yes, we did. Oh, and Matt, and as a tease, so I've spoken with him, you know, a couple texts, couple real conversations, and he will make appearances throughout. Can't exactly tell us when or what weeks, but do not be surprised when you hear him pop on. Of course, he has a very distinctive voice, so you'll be able to know when he pops on. Yeah. Also had a conversation, got a note, no confirmation yet, but I got a note from my man Barack Obama too. So he too will pop on.
Well, they said he's a sports fan. That's the only
camera. Be on camera. So he, but he will likely make an appearance. You know, I'm a left-handed cat. He is too. You know, we share that, you know, long and lanky left-handed. And he going to show your boy some love. So he will make an appearance or two this season right here on Straight No Chaser.
There you go, man. Who give it to you like that, man? Now, many asking about the Lucky Award, since we ain't had no games. So this is the coveted Lucky Whitehead Award that we give out.
See, Minnie rocks with her. She knows these things. I love this.
Distinguished performances in life and what have you. So since we had no games, I didn't really prepare for that. But if you guys think we can do that, y'all let me know.
Off-season Lucky Whitehead Award.
That's great. That's
an interesting concept.
You know what? I think to Minnie said, and first of all, Minnie, shout out to you for bringing it up, because you can see you're a real one. You rock with us, and you are the one that bring up the Lucky Whitehead Award.
You know how this show goes.
That's awesome. But I'm gonna nominate the same person as our sponsor. No damn body. Because I thought the off season was nondescript. It was uneventful, and you know, left us with more questions than answers. So yes, I think the lucky goes to No Damn Body, just like our sponsorship today.
It goes to our sponsor.
It goes to our sponsor. No Damn
Body. I'm going to let mine go to the front office for whoever was in charge of bringing in the guy. He's my guy. And I'm going to bring him up as much as you bring up Jabril Cox. Whoever was in charge of getting Marquise Bell signed and ingratiated with us.
That's fair.
He gets my Lucky Whitehead Award.
That one I can rock with. That's a good call. I can go with that. That's a good call. Because if that man turns out to be producing big things, then we will remember this show, because we're the ones that talked about it.
And I'm going to re-bring this up and make y'all re-know about it.
No doubt.
I'm actually going to give, now that I think about it, I'm going to give my Lucky Whitehead Award to all of the media affiliates. And thank you all for keeping the Cowboys quiet this offseason and not covering their bullshit. Because you notice it's been a very quiet offseason.
It really has. Like, alarmingly quiet.
I'm thankful for that. Thank you for not running with every single crack or every whim of Jerry Jones and all the foolishness from there. So we appreciate the peace and silence after a very turbulent exit to the playoff last year. So
yeah, and shout out to Jerry Jones's paternity issues as well. Jerry Jones's paternity issues was a diversion, I think, this offseason either. So shout out to one Gerald Wayne Jones for the baby mama drama and all the things, the proper diversion of how a disaster this season ended. So appreciate you, Jared. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
There should never be another one, man. Jared Jones is one of a kind, man.
He really is. He really is.
And I wanted to get
that daughter get married? I mean, technically that would count as a Cowboys ring, right?
Well played. Well played. Very well played. And yes, she did.
Say it won't. Damn. I mean, you know what they say, J-Lo got more rings than
you got more rings than Cowboys.
J-Lo got more rings than the Olympic logo.
Maybe we need to put her in the front office. She know how to get rings.
That's funny as hell.
That is
hilarious. So we got one last question at the buzzer.
Okay.
And this is going to segue me. Well, let me start with this. And so The 20 Game Sports asks, what are y'all expectations for Zeke and
Pollard? Oh, how can we ignore that? Whoa.
Zeke flies on the radar real good, and I consistently be on his ass. But before we do that, though, we're
going to give a special
piece to a great cowboy, Marion the Barbarian, man.
Yes. R.I.P.
Salute for Marion the Barbarian.
Yeah. Man. It's a great cowboy. I remember really watching that dude.
Yeah, 38 years old, man.
Like, yeah, 38 years old. I'm 38, so I was like, God damn, man. That's
his whole life ahead of him.
And those of us that were, you know, obviously close to the scene here, knew that he was really going through some things in his life prior to his, you know, just untimely death. You know, I got to say, towards the end of his playing days, you know, we would see him out in a bit. He liked to hoop. We played with him at, you know, Frisco Athletic Center, Lifetime Fitness, what have you. Good dude, man. You know, good dude, quiet cat if you got to know him. But he had really had some things dealing with, man, and to see his untimely death was humbling. So again, you know, RIP to him, man, and you know, peace and prayers to his family for sure.
Absolutely. It highlights the emphasis that we need to place on mental illness, man. I mean,
if you
see something, say something. If you going through something, say something, please.
Absolutely. Like,
y'all take this serious, man. Give mental illness the same energy that we gave Kobe.
No question.
That brother needed help, and you know, I'm sorry to say, at least from what I hear, he didn't get it. You know, you know, I hate to see him in, you know, that way. But it's a lot of cats out there, man. So, I won't go on a rant about this, but you know, for those of y'all been following me, I'm also working with the NFL Alumni Association.
Yes, sir.
On their wellness program. I'm now the media director for the wellness program.
Excellent.
And
did we lose him?
You kicked me out, man. What you doing?
Trying to be cute over here.
Those y'all that know, you know, I'm now the media director for the NFL Alumni Association Wellness Program. We have a wellness program that is targeted not just for players but for everyone. We're starting with our campaign against obesity. So I myself am on the program. I lost as of my last weigh-in 54 pounds on the program. Yes, I'm gonna do my next weigh-in in Canton at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, where my target is gonna be 75 pounds. So, and then for Super Bowl 57, the big number will be 100. But we're rolling that campaign out not just to former players, but also to everyone else. But there's also a mental health and stress program that we're working on as an initiative that we'll be rolling out soon. So, just to kind of, you know, not to go on a rant, but just to let y'all know that that is something that's in the works. So you want more information, go to press.nflalumni.org. That's press.nflalumni.org. You'll see my face on there. You'll see some of the other alumni that's on the program. Dick Buckus is one name that we all know. The great Dick Buckus. He lost almost 60 pounds on the program. So
I want to pick up something before we answer the question about Zeke and Pollard. First of all, let me big up some more. Well, the journey that Rich is undertaking, because we were there when it started, when he got that call. And Rich, I want to tell you on this show and in the airways in front of our folks how incredibly proud I am of you, bro, and doing your thing. And that's an inspiration beyond. And if you guys remember, going back to the mental health initiative, Rich and Cliff, you remember the function that we went to with Lee Steinberg. That was one of his big things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the functions, one of the very prestigious functions that we got to attend. That was this mental health initiative is a very, 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 very big thing. Willie Steinberg, who, as most of you football fans know, is the super agent of super. He might be the GOAT agent of them
all. He is the GOAT agent. Yeah,
and that was a very big deal. As a matter of fact, some of the agenda items on that function that day was about the mental health initiative. So that's a very big thing. And so tied into what you're doing, Rich, and tied into the messaging about mental health, that's big ups, brother. So I just wanted to put that out there.
That's real tough.
Yeah. Now to go, let's get back to this question with expectations for Zeke and Pollard. I'll jump off since I've been running my mouth for all this time.
Go for it.
My expectation is for the Beeve to more efficiently use them and two back situation? Because we saw it. It was mentioned. We saw it in a flash, and then they got away from it. And I think there's a lot of potential now, particularly when you lose an Amari Cooper, particularly when we lose what we referenced as the given in that offensive production on the outside when you had Gallup, Amari, and CD and Cedric Wilson. So now you've got, you know, Gallup's hurt, CD's unproven. I think there's a necessity that you're going to have to lean on both of those guys, particularly with Pollard's talents out of the backfield. I've already started to see some mention of him using him being the beef, using Pollard as much more so as a receiver, but having them on the field at the same time. So I'm expecting big things from the beef to get this duo as productive as we hoped it would be last year out of necessity, because you've lost a lot in the receiver core, and I landed right there.
Well, I'm going to speak from the former lineman's perspective. Your running game is highly based on rhythm, and I think your ability to run block is very heavily tied to that. So when you're not consistent in running the football and getting your line and your backs in sync, that's where you start to have problems and inefficiencies, and it makes it more challenging on the offensive line when you're not running the football on a consistent basis. So you have to focus on running. And then Dak is an excellent play-action quarterback.
Yes.
He is outstanding at that. But
yes, he is.
You don't have that honesty from these opposing defenses when you don't set it up by running the football, and they have to drop that safety or drop that backer down into the box. Then you got one-on-one. You got matchups that you create in the process. It's football 101. It's the time-tested formula that never goes away. So I would like to see some more emphasis on even, you know, short yardage running, whatever. And turn around and hand that pill off. And then we got to make sure that these guys get and stay healthy, because, you know, I'm definitely not an excuse maker, but it's clear to me that Zeke was not anywhere near 100% all last season. So,
no.
Is he ever going to get back to the Zeke of old? I don't think so. But I think that he could be effective enough, especially with a compliment like Tony Pollard out of the backfield, that they can be a hell of a 1-2 punch, similar to what we had with Felix Jones and Marion Barber, RIP, you know, back in the day. I think they can create some type of synergy like those guys had. And, you know, definitely that would be a compliment to Dak's ability to take advantage of those matchups in the play-action game.
Agreed. Totally agree.
I want to show this, too, just so you know, we're going to be on these streams capping. You see the NFL alumni wellness challenge. Nice. And it shows the information there, and it shows yours truly right here in the middle.
Right. That's our guy right there. Yes, sir.
We don't be on here just talking, making stuff up.
Straight chases on, baby.
You got some quality dudes up here, so I just wanted to show that, you know, because you did make that statement, so I wanted to back that up. With receipts, as the kids say out here.
Yes, receipts, sir. Baby.
These receipts. As far as mine, before we landed playing the show, well, I look at it, all y'all points are correct. I just need more leadership out of Zeke. I'm getting Kyrie Irving vibe in this dude, man, and I'm getting sick of
him. Interesting.
You know, and not so egregiously Kyrie, but it feels like he has more interest outside of football, man. Like living his life, which is, I mean, that's your right. No problem. If that's the case, he's trying to roll his ass out here and get it piled our everyday back until we get some more.
We're stuck with him for at least this year. So that's something. At least take advantage of what we got. Let's see what, you know, squeeze the lemon, see if there's any juice in it. You see if we can make the two back system work. If we don't, send his ass on up out of town in 23.
Let me ask you a question, Cliff. You bring up a really interesting point, and you too, Rich. Along with what Cliff just said, this is somewhat of a contract year for Zeke, because this is the last year of that huge deal, where after this he's not a huge cap hit. So the Cowboys have to make a decision on him after this year, with their long money deal. Do they keep him around to extend for that deal? Do they rework that, or do they, like, we appreciate it? Do like Dez? Okay, this is the last year that we're going to pay you this long money that we're obligated to do so. See you later. Bye. So I think we're going to see, again, go back to the we'll see motif into this season. I think how they use Zeke is going to tell us a lot of what they're thinking about Zeke going forward. Right. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. So you bring up a great point about his interest. Is like, is he locked in? It's like, I'll show you guys, because, you know, he's at that back end of the running back shelf life. Mm-hmm. And then he tried to extend to get some more bread. And does Dallas reap the benefit of that? Or is he just like, you know what, screw it. This is my last year. I'm going to ride out and get these long checks, because it's probably going to be my last set of long checks.
Right.
But and then again, if he stunts, and then you start seeing a heavier use of Pollard on instead of the every now and again series, and you start seeing 3, 4, 5 series in a row, that's probably going to tell you. And you're probably going to see that early, right, earlier than late. So they'll be another interesting watch.
Right. Good point, Chuck. Yeah, he is an excellent pass protector. Mm-hmm. He definitely is. Zeke is he's an excellent pass protector. But that's only one aspect of the game.
I need you to run that thing, bro.
The shelf life for a running back is very short. Running backs are the asset that depreciates faster than any other position in football. Because as soon as you get in the league, you're expected to produce right away or you're gone. Mm-hmm.
They are the Chevy Tahoes of position. Yeah, no doubt.
look at a guy like Todd Gurley. We saw him at Super Bowl. Like, Todd Gurley's done.
Right.
Melvin Gordon's about done.
Done.
Like, those are people in Zeke's era. Like, these
people absolutely
finished. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's
right.
We got to stop being
5-7 years. 5-7 years. And we're at
year 7. Gurley is 27, man. And
he's a young guy, man. Mm-hmm.
You know, great guy. We had a chance to chop it up and chill with him, you know, but he done.
Cliff made a play for his piece, and
he tried to the jury piece. Lot, they didn't work out.
Yeah, you know? but the request was legendary.
Yeah, it was.
Nah.
The request was legendary. So great. So great. Another straight no chaser like joke. Yeah.
I like the receipts. We really meet.
We got those. We have those receipts.
we really meet these people out in the field, man.
Yeah.
We do. And again, what we're saying that people like our synergy, so they give us time that other people have to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, at one moment when the network builds, then we can just intentionally have these interactions. But we'll get a Todd Gurley, and he'd like the energy we'll be doing. Eric Dickerson would come and give us time of day.
Mm-hmm. And didn't want to leave.
Right. His handler literally had to say, hey, we got to go. We're late for CBS.
CBS Sports. Yep.
Yep. So we got election. You watch the CBS that day, they went to an extra commercial and some shit because of us.
That is a fact.
What's wrong with us?
All right, so y'all see with me and Todd Gurley. Me and Todd Gurley, man. I asked for the chain swab. He's like, nah.
Classic.
Hell no.
Classic piece.
That's so, classic. You know, that man got some sense, you know.
Classic. Absolute classic. Yeah.
This is us in the field, man. I'll show one more, man. With us, with Eric Dickerson, man. So
again, that was so great.
Oh man,
that's so great.
It's ED, man. Like, what are we talking about right here? SMU football. We're talking Rams football.
One of the singular all-time greats.
Yes.
Hey, man. The story he told about the conversation he had with Jeff Fisher. Oh my God.
Oh, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh. He's not a fan.
I gotta go watch it, man.
a true had to be there moment.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Like I say, for the viewers, you know, this is a family-friendly show. He's not a fan.
At all.
No.
All right, so let me get my little bumper out the way. Listen.
But the beautiful part as Cliff pulls this up is that he was so comfortable telling us this story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eric Dickerson, man.
He's chilling with the big boys.
Yeah, I love it.
Clean. Clean in that suit.
I'm recording, and so this is Eric Dickerson giving us time of day, man. So We really out there, man. Like, you know, we take this seriously, and I hope y'all appreciate the podcast. Because
Pony Express, you damn right, boy.
Absolutely. So that's ED, man. So
yeah. More the same, Bebel.
Yep.
More the same. Get on the train. Take that ride.
That's it.
Did Cliff X himself out before we land the show? Cliff got so hyped he
hit the Leighton Vander Elsewhere button. You sitting in the wrong person.
Yeah. But man, this has been awesome. And we haven't been
it's
on
good
in
to be back,
there.
Man.
There's
our boy. Yeah. Studio. Man, I'm
I was telling them you hit the Leighton Vander Elsewhere button and it took
you did. The LVE.
The wrong angle.
Yeah, yep. You hit the wrong angle.
Yes, sir. So man, thank y'all, man, for being a part of this out there. Thank you, gentlemen, for making the show great. And we always got to do it, man. Let's go ahead and toast up straight no chasing.
Straight no chasing, man. Room temperature, no cut, no ice. Y'all get with it, man.
Yeah, yes, I'm on the plane. I'm
what that is.
Yeah, no, that's cool, man. Hold the water, man.
Stay on task, man. Stay on task.
Stay on task, man. So
you inspired a lot of people out here, Rich.
Yeah, thank y'all so much, guys. Until next time. You know, I'm going to get a video for our Straight No Chasing intro and outro, but to the end, we got to rock with Hoop Jordan. But thank y'all, man, for being a part of this.
Hey, shout out to Kendrick Perkins, too, for handling that bullshit with Draymond Green, too. Yeah. I love the way you clap back at his ass and continue to do so. Put them fools in their place, because we all know damn well Draymond don't want no smoke with Big Perk. None.
I've seen Perk in real life. Perk, I'm 6'7".
Perk, big boy. He's 6'11", vertically and horizontally.
Yes, he is.
A big-ass boy.
That's a big-ass boy. Straight up. Sorry, y'all, man. Thank y'all so much, man. Another episode in the books. We're going to do season 2 starting next week, the week after. Just keep your eyes open. Oh, and make sure you guys have subscribed to our... It's going to be our primary page. It's the Straight No Chaser YouTube page.
All the socials coming.
Yeah, let me put that back up. So y'all make sure y'all subscribe to the Straight No Chaser Cowboys podcast. You'll notice the logo. It's the same one on here. So y'all make sure y'all do that. Y'all follow. That'll be where we primarily...
Like, subscribe, tell, in that order.
In that order, guys.
Like it. Subscribe to it. Tell somebody else about it. Watch and repeat.
There you go. And speaking of Kendrick Perkins, he's going to take us home. Thank y'all so much. We out.
Shout out to Hoop Jargon, man. I'm going to add you to the crew, man. This crew called Hoop Jargon, they've been getting at it, man. They the ones that's going to grill you, man, because they majority are all Houston people. So that's
shout out to Hoop Jargon.
Man, I'm here with my man with Hoop Jargon, the best in the game, man. And you know I only let selected few in my circle. And this is a real dude right here. We're going to get down with the get.